A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, a snow-speckled mountain towers over a tree-lined field. Words appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents. A herd of horses race through the field. Now, a single brown horse stands beneath a tree. Gallen Bess. Copyright 1946. Credits appear over an old wagon next to a wooden fence. Chickens peck at the ground nearby. Original story and screenplay by Gene Bartlett. Director of photography, John W. Boyle. Film editor, Harry Comer. Musical score, Rudolph G. Kopp. Recording director, Douglas Shearer. Art direction, Cedric Gibbons and Howard Campbell. Set decorations, Edwin B. Willis. Technical advisor, Captain W.W. Fineman, United States Navy. We express our deep appreciation to the United States Navy and to the officers and men at the Advanced Naval Base at Port Hueneme, California, for their splendid cooperation during the filming of this production. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Christopher Flowers and Justin Soule. Read by Pat Lentz. For more about DVS, call 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at dvs.wgbh.org. Cast: Marshall Thompson as Tex, George Tobias as Lug, Clem Bevins as Smitty, Donald Curtis as Lieutenant Bridgman, Murray Alper as Johnny, Wally Cassell as Mike, Jim Davis as Harry, Chill Wills as CPO, John Burford as Shorty, Johnny Bond as Oki, and Bess. Produced by Harry Rapp, directed by Andrew Martin. Now, a wooden sign with the carving of a horse's head reads, Stud Farm. Brown horses gallop around a corral. One breaks off from the group and the others give chase. They race along the farm's white fence until another horse takes the lead with the other horses striding along behind. At a gate, a man dressed in blue denim leads a shiny chestnut stallion to the field.
Okay, Fireman.
As the man releases the bit, the horse bolts away into the grassy field. The horse gallops across the field, kicking up tiny clouds of dust as it runs. Reaching a corner of the fence, Firebrand spins around and races back. White markings like socks grace three of the horse's ankles. Now, outside the fence, a grizzled farmer strokes the coat of a different chestnut horse.
What a fine mare.
All right, kid, you can come get her now.
A tall, clean-cut young man exits a stable. Smiling broadly, he picks a saddle off a fence and strides over. As Firebrand continues to prance around the sunny field, the teen carries the saddle and a blanket over to the mare. The man in denim waits by the mare, and the teen approaches and unfolds the blanket onto the horse's back.
Don't forget your stud receipt.
Oh, I won't forget that.
Hey, Tex!
Yes?
Tex heaves the saddle onto his mare, then leads the horse over to a white-haired man holding a sheet of paper. Tex takes the paper as the man admires the horse.
Is that my receipt, Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Best Firebrand.
Say, that's a fine mare.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, the more I look at her, the more I'd like to buy her.
Tex's smile fades.
She isn't for sale, Mr. Riley.
She's worth a lot of money. Do you realize that?
Yes, I do, Mr. Riley. That's why Paul bought her just before he died to start our horse ranch. You see, sir, Paul homesteaded up at Lone Ridge because, well, he had the idea that horses just belonged up there.
When did your father die?
About 6 years ago.
And all this time you've been trying to get a ranch started all by yourself?
Yes, sir. That's why Bess and me have been working for the stud fee and once in a while packing in a tourist.
She'll throw a great colt. At least you'll get a good start, if it's possible to start a stock ranch with only one colt.
Well, Bess and me got a lot of time. She'll stock our ranch one by one.
Tex mounts his horse and gallops off.
Bye.
Bye, sir.
Mr. Riley waves as Tex and Bess round the corner of the Red Roof stable. Tex spurs Bess to a trot.
Oh, Bess.
As they gallop away down a dusty road, Firebrand spots the two passing. He gallops over to the fence as Bess trots along the road beside it. Tex pulls Bess up next to the farm's wooden sign and glances back at Firebrand, who watches them from a corner of the corral.
Come on, Bess, we've got a long ways to go.
Tex spurs Bess on, and she moves away at a spirited gallop down the tree-lined path. In the distance, tall mountain peaks loom over the forest. With Tex on her back, Bess speeds on through the wooded area. Bess leaps a fallen tree and a cloud of dust trails behind. Now the frisky mare leaps another log.
Take it easy, easy!
As Tex holds the reins with one hand, he ducks a low tree branch.
Hey!
Bess bounds downhill, vaulting over a dry gulch. And a fallen tree.
Wow.
Bess continues her spirited gallop through the forest, and Tex pulls back on the reins as they circle around into a clearing.
All right, that's enough.
That's enough.
Bess runs sideways.
Oh, Bess.
More dust billows behind in the clearing.
Oh, oh.
Now, darkened with a sheen of sweat, Bess pulls to a halt. She rears up twice. When she settles, Tex tilts his head.
Is that all?
Bess nods.
Well, let's go home then. Gotta make camp before dark.
The team directs the calm steed away. Later, along a riverbank, horse and rider approach a cliffside grotto with three waterfalls. Tex dismounts on the rocky shore and unties, then removes Bess' saddle and harness. The chestnut mare then moves to the water's edge and lowers her head to it. Bess backs off and looks back to Tex, who is lighting a campfire.
All right, I'm coming.
Smiling, Tex grabs a copper pot from his gear and moves down to the water next to Bess.
You didn't have to wait for me.
Getting on his belly, Tex touches his lips to the water. Bess drinks next to him as Tex slurps up river water. He wipes his mouth, then dips the copper pot into the water, filling it. As he carries it back to their campsite, Bess follows. Tex sets the pot over the small smoky fire, and Bess noses through Tex's gear.
Yeah, I know you want oats, but I'm making mash for you. I'm going to start your new diet right now, okay?
Bess nods as Tex prepares her meal. Tex tests the mixture with a finger and recoils from the heat. He then carries the pot to a nearby rock and dumps the contents onto its flat surface. He taps out the sawdust-like mash, and Bess comes over to eat.
It'll make you feel good.
Tex grabs a can of food for himself and sits on the rock next to Bess. Using a pocket knife to eat from the can, Tex smiles at his horse.
Good, huh?
He shovels another knifeful into his mouth as he watches Bess eat her dinner. Later, the clouds glow a deep red, silhouetting the rolling hills. Tex sleeps on the ground under a patchwork blanket, resting his head on Bess's neck, who also lays on the ground. Tex shifts in his sleep. He rolls over next to Bess's ear and twitches his nose on the bristly hair. Nearby, a squirrel scampers along. It wanders over to Tex's saddlebag and scurries under the flap. The squirrel peeks its head out, then scampers over to Bess. It runs across Bess's body, pausing on the horse's back leg. Bess lifts her head for a moment and eyes the squirrel, then settles back down. The squirrel sits on its haunches, munching on a morsel stolen from the saddlebag. Bess looks up again, and the squirrel dashes off, leaving crumbs on Bess's rump. Now, a skunk wanders into the camp. It scurries between Bess and Tex and sniffs around Tex's blanket. Bess sleepily nudges the skunk with her head, and it moves off. The horse raises her head and curls her lip. Skunk hurries away, dashing under a bush. Bess lowers her head, this time resting it on Tex's shoulder. Now, a raccoon crawls over Tex's legs into the camp and moves past the glowing coals of the campfire to the copper pot. It reaches in and munches the last remaining bits of Bess's mash. Bess lifts her head to glare at the raccoon. As it stands high on its toes, Bess curls her lip. The raccoon scampers away from the pot. Now, a mountain lion moves in the bushes nearby. As Tex and Bess sleep motionless, the mountain lion runs out into the clearing. Bess's head twitches, then jerks up, and she rolls onto her stomach. The mountain lion paces closer. As Tex sleeps on, Bess moves to a sitting position. The mountain lion bares its fangs, and Bess curls her lip, showing her teeth. Bess gets to her feet. The mountain lion turns tail and heads back into the wooded area. Jess eases slowly back down to the ground. She rolls onto her side and rests her head again on Tex's shoulder. Tex tosses for a moment, then the two return to a deep sleep. Morning. Water cascades down a cliff into a shallow pool. Bess stands at the water's edge as Tex bathes at the base of the falls.
Water's great! Come on in!
As Tex splashes at her, Bess shakes out her mane.
You know it's cold, don't you?
Bess nods.
Don't be scared. Oh, come on in. Want me to come and get you?
Bess walks away from the shore.
Hey, wait for me. We're going to Smitty's.
Now, words written in white paint on a wooden plank nailed to a tree read, "Welcome to Lone Ridge, home of the rainbow trout." Tex rides Bess up to a solitary building with a sign above the front porch that reads, "Smitty's Store." Tex dismounts and ties Bess to the porch. Inside, Tex enters the general store and trips over a bucket. A dozing old man lifts a newspaper off his face. A black and white dog lies next to him.
Stop stumbling over that bucket. That's the second time you've done that.
Well, I just came in, Smitty. I haven't been in here for a year.
That was the first time. This is the second. What are you doing up here in the city?
Oh, I want to pick up a few supplies.
Oh. What are you aiming to buy?
Something pretty special, Smitty. Want some Hart's number 3 mash.
What's the matter? Bess off her feed?
No, sir. She's fine. She's in full.
No.
Uh-huh.
Who'd she marry?
Firebrand down at Glen Cove. We just got back.
Well, I'm glad that's settled. Thank heaven I don't have to hear any more about that. How much this mash do you want?
I'll take the whole sack.
The whole sack?
Just a second, Smitty. I'll give you a hand.
A wood-paneled station wagon pulls up outside. Smitty raises his eyebrows as his dog looks at the door.
An automobile. Now, who can that be?
Could be a customer.
A uniformed Navy officer enters. His head bumps a canteen hanging from the roof beams, and he spins to see Tex carrying a sack of feed.
Brother, am I glad to see you.
Why?
Why? Because I've been driving up in these mountains 2 months recruiting Section 228. I need one guy from my quota, and I can get out of here. And you're it.
He pats Tex's arm, then yells out the door.
Hey, Doc! Tell him! Bring the stuff!
A sailor collects items from the car that is marked U.S. Navy Recruiting Service.
Love this guy. He's loaded.
Come in the office, my boy. Sit right down there. I'll be with you just in a moment.
He clears off a desk.
Open up a naval recruiting station right here in the ship.
The officer and sailor hang a flag and 2 recruiting posters.
It's the good old United States Navy, my boy. The cream of the service. Be with you just in a moment. A few papers to get out here. There we go. Hand that booby trap over, Doc. Thank you.
A typewriter.
There we are. We're going to do it, aren't we, boy? It'll look nice on my report, too. Recruiting the whole city of Lone Ridge. Sign right there.
May I ask you a question, sir?
Yes.
You need everybody right now?
We need every man in America to win this war right now. You're an American, of course.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm an American. You need everybody right now.
Everybody right now. Of course, you're 18. Of course. Sign right there.
Smitty and his dog watch, then
Come
move
on,
out from the corner.
Up.
Well, look, mister, I wouldn't be any good to you in the Navy. Why, I've never been off the farm.
Then I got a happy surprise for you. You drive a tractor, I suppose?
Sure.
Congratulations, you can sign for Seabees. Great outfit. Always a pleasure to sign a man for it. Come on now, the Seabee training closed 10. After boot camp, you'll be near home for a long while.
I can't sign up right now. I've got to look after my horses.
Tex walks out.
You want a Jap to ride that horse? You saw what happened to the Navy that stood between you and the Jap. The Jap, get here. How are you
going to
stop him? With a pitchfork?
Tex scowls. He looks over to where his horse is tied, then tosses down the sack of feed. He turns back into the store and sits at the desk. Smitty comes up behind him.
I'll sign up.
You can't, Tex. You're only 16.
I'm 17.
You are not? I remember the date she was born. It was a big flood. Why, nobody could get through up here.
Well, are you or aren't you?
I'm 17. Why, today's my birthday.
Happy birthday. For this, I could buy you a beer.
Too young to drink beer.
Shut up. We're busy here.
Smitty moves off.
Let's check this guy, Doc. Couldn't be anything the matter with him. He's been living up in these mountains all his life. Say ah, bud.
Ah.
Ah, you're wonderful. Anchors away, my boys,
Later, Tex rides Bess with the sack of mash behind him on the saddle. He leans forward and solemnly pats Bess's neck. Now in the afternoon sunlight, they approach a weather-beaten split rail fence surrounded by trees with green and yellow foliage. Tex pulls the gate shut as he maneuvers Bess through. They gallop past a small gray house with chickens in front. Then Tex leads Bess into an old barn. As he begins to remove the sack from Bess's saddle, a fawn wanders by outside. Tex pats the mare's back. He hangs up the mare's bridle and moves out smiling. With her head, Bess pushes the barn gate closed behind him and watches as Tex drops a fence plank and pushes the fawn through the gap. As the fawn hops away, he lifts the plank back into place. As Bess watches, he pensively taps the top of the fence. He turns, rolling up his shirt sleeves, as Bess looks from the stable. The small homestead sits in the shadow of the surrounding forest. Tex makes his way across the yard to the rickety porch adorned by a single rocking chair. Unlatching the house's Dutch door, he enters. Inside, he moves a dining chair over to a small desk in the corner of the room, then lifts a thick book from a shelf and carries it to the desk. Unhooking a latch on the book, he opens the cover and flips to the front page. Tex dips a pen in ink and hunches over the pages. The page is titled Family Record. Underneath two lines are written in black cursive, Born our son, Texas Barton, July 7th, 1926. Died, Ma and Pa on my 10th birthday. Tex scribbles a third line underneath, Bred Bess to Firebrand, June 5th, 1943. Outside, Smitty passes through the gate carrying his dog on his hip.
Sure is a long walk. Good thing you're riding in an upper berth.
Tex closes the Bible and turns back to the door as Smitty enters.
Well, I closed the store.
Smitty sets down his bag.
You know, Pat's getting older than I am.
He sets the dog on the bed.
His paw's plumb give out.
He lies down next to him.
I had to carry him the last mile. All in all, it was a terrible trip.
Why did you come then, Smitty?
It was like shooting ducks on a pond. Them Navy fellows never give you a chance to get off the ground. Just rushed in and started a fire.
I was just writing about Bess.
Yeah, I'll read my passage and go to sleep.
Tex passes Smitty the Bible, then looks up at two photos on the wall.
Gee, I sure wish Dad could have seen Firebrand. Now we got our Barton and Son ranch started, just like he said we would, if we had faith in our idea.
Smitty reads.
If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Yes, I know. Now the war's come on us. You've got to stop everything. Breaks up everything you've got your heart in. You have to go, even if you've got a lie to go. Well, what's going to happen to Bess? I'll have to board her out, and I won't know how they'll take care of her or the fool.
Didn't I tell you? That's why I'm here. Why, Sonny, I'm going to ride Bess's foal on my knee.
Tex's face brightens.
Oh, thanks, Smitty.
Smitty scratches Pat's ear.
Yeah, and you're going to have somebody run after. If you can run.
Now, a sign reads, U.S. Naval Base, Fort Hueneme, California. A logo with the word Seabees depicts a bumblebee in a sailor's cap holding a machine gun, a wrench, and a hammer. Now on the base, sailors in white caps and dark uniforms cross a street near the entry gate. In the barracks, sailors approach a man with a guitar.
Hey, Okie, play about a baby doll.
All right, Mike, how about this?
The men use a bench as a card table.
Oh, my darling Nellie Gray, they have...
No, 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 not that. Play about a blonde there with a... You know what I mean, with black slippers?
Yeah, that's it. Something sweet and hot.
Oh, you mean like this?
Well, come along, boys, and listen to my tale.
No, 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 no.
Lay off
for that stuff.
I can't play your kind of stuff. All my gals got pigtails and don't even wear shoes.
Well, shut up now, so these guys will get the dough out.
All right, all right.
What are we playing, Lug?
Five card stud.
Okay, Andy, Andy.
Tell me.
Andy.
Deal me
of course,
now.
Andy.
Okay.
Done. 10 cents.
I'm in.
Tex enters the barracks and opens a locker near his bunk. A picture of a horse decorates the inside of his locker. Tex stares at it while he unbuttons his shirt. Lug and the others watch him.
Will you stop looking at that thing? It's got me.
Why, Lug?
Because I don't understand any kid who won't sit in on a game. You know, even if you're as young as you look, you're old enough to start acting like a man. Now come on over here and start losing your dough.
All right, I'll be right with you.
Tex takes a coin purse from his locker and checks its contents. He then carries it over to the card game.
We switch to draw.
Here's your pigeon.
A wavy-haired sailor gives Tex a pillow to sit on. Mike peeks at a brawny man's cards. Mike smiles as the brawny sailor bets.
I open for a buck.
I pass.
I guess I'll raise a dollar.
I call and raise another buck.
I'm out.
I pass. Lucky's all yours.
Smiling, Lug winks at the wavy-haired soldier.
I call.
How many?
One, please.
I'm Pat.
I check.
Other sailors gather around the game.
A buck.
I'll see you and raise my last dollar.
So you check and raise, huh? What kind of poker is that?
I call.
A flush. Ace, king, queen, high.
Well, you lose. I've got an ace, king, queen, jack.
Uncle Luggy wanted Junior to play.
Uncle Luggy, say nighty-night to Junior.
You're it.
Lug angrily tosses down his cards. He stomps to his bunk two cots away from Texas and begins undressing. A pinup of a woman in a bathing suit hangs on the wall next to his bunk.
Are you always that lucky?
I don't know. Haven't played since I was 10. Used to play with Dad for matches.
Lug gawks at the young man. He takes off his shoe and slams it to the floor. An officer enters.
Lights out!
Oh, have a heart.
Lying in his bunk, Tex opens his locker door. He stares dreamily at the picture of the chestnut horse reared up on two legs. Lug glares.
I'll fix that little squint.
In his bunk, Lug pulls his blanket over his head. Now, Lug holds open Tex's locker as other sailors crowd around him. Touching a finger to his tongue, he dabs at the inside of the door.
How's that?
Not bad, not bad.
A sailor rushes over.
Here he comes.
The other sailors scatter back to their own bunks. Tex enters and tosses his hat on his bunk, then opens his locker. The horse now wears a short, frilly skirt with matching halter top and bonnet. Its lips are painted red and long eyelashes are painted on. Tex scowls over at Lug, who sits nonchalantly whistling. He gets up and moves to sit on the bunk next to Texas.
Now you got a woman to look at.
Tex rips his picture in half, then leaps over the bunks. He rips Lug's pin up off the wall.
Now you haven't got a woman to look at.
A sailor holds Lug back.
Yeah, I'll weigh him 2 tons. What about that?
Tex shoves aside the brawny sailor, then flips Lug over his shoulder. As sailors crowd around, Lug gets to his feet, holding his lower back.
Why, how'd you do that? That's what we learned today in judo class.
Yeah, everybody but you.
Lug smiles.
Shake!
Tex grins and shakes Lug's hand. Now, Tex drives a truck up and down a hilly road. Sitting next to Tex, Lug playfully jabs him. Tex pushes Lug's cap down over his eyes as they roll over another hill. They smile. Now, in the barracks lavatory, a sailor washes his hands. The brawny sailor shaves next to him.
I don't know what you'll do first. Get a beer, see my girl, or kiss my mother.
It won't be to kiss your mother.
I've lived for this, Liberty. How, I don't know.
A sailor kicks Oki in the rump.
I'm going to improve your music. I'm taking you to a jukebox and a blonde.
Now, I'll work hard at both of them. When Tilly sees me, she's going to fall right down and never get up. And that little pal of hers with the big brown eyes. Boy, how she'll go for you.
Look, I keep telling you I'm not going with you. I got to see how Bess is getting along.
Well, what'll she do when she sees you? She's only a plug.
Oh, she'll tear down that road and jump everything in sight.
So what?
You better stay clear of any date Lug gets you. He digs them up out of graveyards.
Is that so? This dame I got for you is out of this world. Every woman I got is out of this world.
So that's why they all look like nothing human.
He's envious.
The brawny sailor comes up to Tex.
Sweetheart, open your great, big, beautiful eyes and let Daddy tell you something about dames.
If anybody's going to steer them, it's me. You'll poison his mind. You guys don't go for the higher things.
A higher thing like Tilly?
Lug starts a towel fight.
Hey, it's 1300. We're on Liberty! Yeah!
Later, outside, white-capped sailors in blue uniforms crowd around two buses marked Liberty. Lug forces Tex into a bus ahead of others waiting.
Up front, you guys.
I got a date.
Hurry up.
Get going. Quit your shoving, Lug.
Thanks, Lug.
Lug pushes the door shut, then meets Tex at a window.
Don't let Bess spend all you do.
The bus pulls away with Tex leaning out the window, smiling broadly. Later, Tex runs down the forested road toward his home. At Tex's farm, Smitty holds a feed bag as Bess prances nervously around the corral.
Hold there. Oh.
Looky here, what I got in the bag.
Bess passes him, then circles back.
Atta girl. Looky here. Look what I got in the bag.
Bess moves away from Smitty again.
What do you mean? Shaking up your pole that away and not eating your breakfast. Come on. Smitty's got goodies for you. Come on, Bess. Come on. You sure got your dander up today.
Bess leaps the corral fence. She then jumps the outer fence and sprints away. On the road, Tex jogs happily on. Now, Bess races across a vast grassy field lined with trees. Elsewhere, Tex approaches a battered fence and stops. Atop a nearby hill, the mare crests the ridge into the sunlight. Tex smiles up at Bess and her ears perk forward. Tex hops over the fence and runs to his horse, who meets him in the field.
Oh, Bess, oh, it's good to see you again. You've been behaving, taking real good care of yourself.
Bess jogs away from him.
Hey, come back here.
She stops out of his reach. Tex frowns.
Bess, come back here.
Bess shakes her head.
Bess, do you hear me? Come back here.
She curls her lip up at him.
Now look, after having walked 10 miles, I'm not going to chase you.
Bess slowly starts forward, then trots across the field back to him.
That's better. It's about time you made up your mind. You're still up to your old tricks jumping fences, huh? Hope you didn't get hurt doing it.
Tex crouches to check her, and Bess steals
his
cap.
Come back here.
Bess taunts him, shaking the hat in her mouth. Tex runs toward her.
Give me that hat. Hey!
She bolts, and Tex jogs helplessly after her. Bess stops and turns to look back at him, still holding his hat. As Tex closes the distance between them, she bolts off again. Tex stops.
Come here, Bess! You wait till I catch you.
Bess stops again and waits. Tex runs to catch up with her. As he gets closer, the horse takes off again. Tex changes direction and gets about 20 feet away, then gives up. Bess trots back to her starting place and waits again. Tex jogs up to her along the forest's edge and finally gets his hat back. He pulls the white hat from her mouth.
Bess, aren't you ashamed?
The mare lowers her head to the ground and nudges his leg as Tex stares down at her.
Yeah,
Bess nuzzles his face.
Never mind that. You'd better lie down and think it over.
Bess goes down to one knee.
Go on. Quit stalling.
She lowers to her belly.
That's better. Have you thought it over?
Bess nods.
All right, then. Get up. I've been away 6 months. Now, how long is that? Huh? Come on. Count it out.
Bess raises one of her hoofs.
Count it out. Me straight in the face and tell me if you've been minding Smitty while I've been away.
She nudges him.
Oh, no. I'm not going to get away with that.
She nuzzles his cheek.
Oh. Now, if you
Have you been that bad?
Bess nods.
You have?
Tex hugs her neck.
Aha, you didn't forget a single trick, did you? Come on now, let's go to the farm.
Tex mounts her bareback, and the two race off across the field. Now, Pat follows Smitty down an outdoor staircase at the farm. They walk toward the barn.
Come on, boy. Come on.
Smitty holds a pocket watch and calls into the barn.
Hi, Tex. Would you like to look at my watch for any reason?
Oh, thanks, Smitty. I know it's time to go. Boy, she sure looks swell. My figuring is right. Foal will be along in about 5 months.
Yep.
Oh, boy, I sure wish I were going to be here to see him. Hey, when he gets here, will you call him CB, Smitty?
Sure.
Tex looks at his watch, then moves around the barn gate. He puts on his hat and shakes Smitty's hand.
Goodbye, Smitty. Thanks an awful lot for taking such good care of her. Goodbye, Bess.
As Tex walks off, Bess moves away.
Take easy now.
She exits a back door and hurries around the barn into the corral. She pulls up next to Tex and walks along with him. He smiles broadly. At the barn, Smitty chuckles to himself and shakes his head.
Hey, you better go back to the barn. Smitty, you better get hold of her. Bye, Bess.
Tex jogs away from the fence and exits through the farm gate. Bess watches him and shakes her head as he closes it behind him. Tex waves as he heads off.
I'll be back soon.
Bess nods. Now, at the base, Tex starts up a bulldozer surrounded by sailors. He climbs up to the driver's seat, and an officer jumps down off its track. Another officer takes the seat beside Tex.
Okay, take her to the proving ground.
Tex drives his bulldozer forward out of a row of other parked bulldozers. Now, Tex maneuvers the vehicle in a large, muddy construction pit with its plow lifted. Dozens of bright orange cranes and tractors traverse the area around a water hole in the center of the pit. Tex's bulldozer wheels around near a pool of water at the steep bottom, then heads up the steep bank. Cranes continue to scoop up and fill the water hole with dirt. Tex strains to look around his plow as he eases the massive dozer forward, pulling back and forth on the vehicle's controls. A group of sailors watch as Tex goes through his drills. The dozer slowly moves back up the bank toward them.
Hang on, here comes Martin!
Lug and the other sailors hurry out of the way, slipping in the dirt. Tex stops as he crests the bank.
Give it the gun. Even if you go over the bank, the dozer will crawl down just as it crawled up.
Tex pulls back on the controls and eases the bulldozer forward over the bank. It slides gently down the other side and pulls to a stop. The other sailors run over and crowd around. Tex leaves his seat and jumps down off the dozer as Lug runs up.
Boy, that's 4-0.
Next.
Lug taps Tex as a sailor cranks the engine.
Maybe Shorty will break it. Then I won't have to get into that thing.
The tall sailor scowls at Lug.
Say, Lug, mail call comes today when I'm in engine class.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'll get you mail.
Oh, thanks, Lug.
Time for the little plug, eh?
I hope so.
Now, in a base garage.
I'm going to show you something. This clutch assembly has been opened up for you. Now, supposing all these bolts were stripped off. As a matter of fact, what would you do if you were in the jungle and you needed a part that was 1,000 miles away?
I'd go to my commanding officer and ask for leave to go get it.
You'd make it out of the material you had. Take any half-inch bolt.
Lug sneaks up to Tex and hands him a letter.
Fit it in. Build it up with washers. It'll work just as good as if it were made to fit. Now, any friction-type clutch wears out sooner or later.
Hiding behind the other sailors, Tex tears open his letter and reads it.
But if you can't get that particular kind of lining, make something else do.
Tex looks up, ashen-faced. He rushes from the garage. The instructing officer sees him run off.
Hey, Bart! Where do you think you're going?
Now, Tex enters a waiting room and brushes past the reception desk. The guard follows him into an office.
Hey, take it easy, sailor. I'm sorry for this.
Pardon me, sir, but...
Go outside and wait.
But, sir,
outside, please.
Paragraph one.
The officer dictates and Tex starts following the guard out. He spins back around.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't wait. I've got to have a leave right now.
The officer nods to the guard.
That's all.
The guard leaves.
Why didn't you make the request to your platoon leader and standard attention?
I couldn't find them, sir. I looked all over. I just got to have a leave right away.
You'll have to wait your turn. There are three men outside ahead of you. The need for
the mustached officer continues his dictation. Tex sadly moves away, ringing his cap, then stops.
To other units, be reallocated to this unit.
I'm sorry, sir, but you don't know how quick a horse can go with pneumonia.
A horse? See your platoon leader and bring it up at request mass tomorrow.
Tex fidgets, starting to speak. The officer stares him down. Tex turns to the door as the officer looks away. Tex heads out.
It is requested that the above items which have been assigned to other units be reallocated to this unit not later than 7 days.
Outside the building, Tex wanders, dazed, out into the street. Groups of sailors mill about the area behind him. Tex glances around, then starts running full speed down the street toward the guard post. As he passes the gate, a guard spots him.
Hey.
Three guards converge on him. Tex struggles as two of the guards capture him and escort him back into the base. Now, Tex paces nervously in a cell. He runs his hand along the chain-linked fenced walls, then sits on the cell's cot. He bounces once, anxiously, then slumps over onto his side. Tex lifts his head from the cot to look as someone passes. He lays back down. Again, someone approaches. He jumps up as a guard walks over and unlocks his door.
Time's up. Nice going, Hasselle. Shoving off, huh? Wish I were.
Tex turns back to him.
Shove it off? What do you mean?
I said you're shoving out.
Oh. Then I'll never see... How do you know we're shoving off?
Because everyone in your group have liberty for tonight, and that means only one thing. Ah, don't look so beat up, man. Everybody shoving out gets a 24-hour liberty.
24 hours?
Sure.
Okay, mate.
Tex quickly shakes the guard's hand and rushes out. Evening. Wind shakes the gate of Tex's farm as sheets of rain pelt down. Tex arrives at the gate and passes through. He sprints toward the barn, his hat pulled down and coat pulled tightly around him. Light glows from within the barn's fenced opening. Tex ducks under blankets hanging above the gate as he enters. Inside, Smitty sets bottles on a milking stool while kneeling. Lying on a blanket in the straw is Bess. Tex hangs up his coat and crouches next to her.
I wouldn't be this sick if I could have gotten here sooner. But they wouldn't let me come. But I'm here now. So you'll get up for me, won't you, Bess? You'll do it for me.
Tex pets her neck, then moves to feel her stomach. He glances to Smitty.
Bull's all right. He's still moving. Bess, you gotta work your butt. Come on, girl. Get up.
Bess struggles to rise, lifting her head off the ground. Tex tries to help pull her up.
Get up, Bess.
Bess rises a bit, then falls back to the straw. She lurches again and gets to one hoof, then falls back, easing her head onto the straw. Tex's hands curl into fists.
We've got to get her up. Help me, Smitty. Help me.
Grab that ring of the blanket.
They pull together the corners of Bess's blanket.
We get the block. Grab hold of the other end.
Tex holds two corners of Bess's blanket together. He hooks a block and tackle through a ring at the blanket's ends. When the blanket is secured around Bess, Tex moves to the rope with Smitty and takes hold of it.
Get up, Bess! Get up!
The blanket surrounding Bess's midsection gets stretched by the block and tackle, and the rope pulls taut against her weight. Smitty and Tex labor to get Bess to her feet. Tex's gaze stays focused on Bess as he pulls. Struggling, her head rises and falls. Beads of sweat on Tex's face glisten in the lamplight.
Bess, get up! Get up! Bess, get up!
Bits of straw dangling from her head and neck, Bess strains continuously to rise, then slowly lowers her head to the ground and lies still. Tex releases his hold on the rope, and the block falls to the ground. Smitty stands open-mouthed and glances to Tex. The young man hops over Bess and places an ear to her side. Smitty wets a rag from the bottles and hands it to Tex, who wipes Bess's neck with it. As they pat her down, Tex holds her head then pauses, looking into her lifeless eyes. He lets her head slide from his hands, and it comes to rest in the straw. Smitty stands. Stunned, Tex gazes off and slowly gets to his feet. Smitty stands next to him, staring down sadly at Bess.
Stop praying. She's dead. The fool. He's gone with her.
Not gone, Tex. She's still with you.
How can you stand there and tell me my dead horse is still with me? Feel her. There's no breath. No heart. Don't you know what death is?
Tex turns his back to Smitty.
Know what the power of love is, and if you have faith in that, you can't lose her because you love her.
Can't lose her? I can't touch her again. Get out, you crazy old man!
Smitty regards him sadly and gently shakes his head.
You can't lose her because you love her.
Smitty turns to the door, his eyes downcast. He approaches a beam near the barn entrance. The old man removes his hat and coat from it, then wraps the coat around his shoulders. He pulls back the gate and heads out into the storm. As the gate swings shut, Tex stands motionless, his hands clenching the barn's support beams. Lamplight shines off his eyes and face as he turns his gaze to the wall. He slowly reaches out and pulls down a pickaxe. Tex turns to Bess. He regards his dead horse, then removes the block and tackle. He hooks it against a beam, then walks over to the back wall of the barn. Swings back the pickaxe and brings it forward, striking it against bottom planks of the wall. One by one, the shingled planks break away from the wall. Outside, lamplight shines out from the hole as Tex breaks off more planks with the axe. Rain continues to fall as Tex strikes the short wall beams. As they break away, Tex hunches over and steps out through the wall opening into the muddy yard. He kicks aside the fallen planks and begins swinging the pickaxe into the ground. Water drips off the corral fence as he pounds the earth with the pickaxe. Drenched from the rain, Tex leans the tool against a tree and grabs a shovel. He begins digging in the ground broken apart by the pickaxe. Bess's still corpse lies just inside the barn next to the open wall. Tex methodically shovels the mud away. Later, Tex stands in a hole 3 feet deep. He uses the shovel to smooth a sloped incline on the edge of the hole. As the rain continues to drip from his hair and clothes, Tex throws aside the shovel and reaches into the barn. He grabs hold of Bess's blanket and begins tugging her corpse out into the rain. At one of the house's windows, Smitty approaches from beyond the rain-streaked panes. He holds up a lamp and wipes the fogged glass. Holding aside white curtains, he squints out into the storm. He watches Tex drag Bess toward the hole. Her body slides down the incline into the muddy grave. Back at the window, Smitty shakes his head sadly and moves away from the blurry window back into the house. Tex climbs out of the grave and retrieves the shovel. Rain streams down the sides of the barn behind him as he pauses wearily, then begins filling in the grave. Morning, outside the barn, Tex stands dazed as Smitty wipes off his shoes and uniform pant legs. Tex slowly walks across the yard, his cap and coat dangling listlessly from his hands. His tie and sandy brown hair, now dry, rustle slightly in the breeze. Early morning sunlight shines on patches of dry earth. He steps over mud puddles in the shade, his shoulders drooping and eyes downcast. Tex strides past the house toward the still dripping farm gate. Behind him, Smitty enters the house. Tex unlatches the gate and walks around the edge of a large puddle in the center of the road. The reflection in the water shows the gate closing. comes the churning ocean water of a white foamy wake behind a ship. Tex leans against a mounted anti-aircraft gun on the deck, staring off over the railing. Now, boxers fight in a makeshift ring on the ship's deck. Sailors crowd around as the fighters swing punches at each other. At ringside, Tex's lieutenant checks his watch, then turns from the fight. He walks across the deck and spots Lug and Tex leaning against the ship's railing, far from the boxing ring. Lug taps Tex as the lieutenant approaches. Tex quickly stands at attention.
Why aren't you better to fight?
Yes, I was just telling Skinny what we was missing. Come on, kid.
Relax, Barton. This isn't an inspection. I should think you'd enjoy a good fight.
I sure would.
Sure he would. But listen to those guys roar.
As the lieutenant walks off, Tex starts toward him with clenched fists. Lug grabs his arm.
That was close. You mean to tell me you were going to haul off and smack Bridgman? You know what you'd get for that, don't you?
Yeah, I'll fix his wagon someday.
I got a good mind to throw you overboard. Only I can't keep a secret. Bridgman ain't to blame because your nag died. Nobody's to blame. She got sick and she died, and that's that.
Tex continues scowling.
Look, Skinny, how long are you going to keep this up? It's 3 weeks now. 3 days after my old lady died, I was all right. You keep this up and they'll send you back to a nut house. At least give the Japs a chance to take a pop at you.
Lug pulls Tex along with him.
Oh, come on.
They wander over to the fight, weaving through the mass of sailors. Now, a view above the ship shows a sailor walking along the long, cluttered deck of the ship as it speeds through the water. In the hold, Bridgman points at an island terrain map. The
surveying party will go out first, followed by three dozers. That's Johnson, Barton, and Williams. You will take position here on the starboard side of our point of landing and stand by to aid any equipment that might get stuck. Wear your life jackets. Just above our point of landing are the ruins of a Shinto shrine, which will be our base of survey. Now I'll show you what we're going to do to this island.
He lowers a clear overlay of an airstrip.
All equipment will bear left around this bluff. Our runway will be located here on low ground that is now a marsh. The island has been recently secured, but there may be Jap stragglers, so keep rifles and helmets handy at all times. That's all I need to say. It's your show. Let's all be on the ball.
Tex moves away from the back of the hold as the men disperse. Later, in twilight, the ship coasts through the calm water. Helmeted sailors crowd the deck, waiting. The sailors scatter to their equipment. A group raises a deck gun. Elsewhere, Tex and Lug unchain their bulldozers from the floor of the hold. Rows of armed sailors line up behind the vehicles. Above, a sailor with headsets and a microphone leans into a glass window box looking into the hold. Bridgman waves up to him.
Now hear this. Lower the ramp. Lower the ramp.
Like a drawbridge, the back wall of the hold slowly descends on chains. Sunlight streams into the hold as it lowers, revealing the island. Sailors wait anxiously, holding rifles. Tex secures his helmet's chin strap as the towering ship eases up to the shore. As it touches the shore, the sailors, clad in green fatigues, rush out into the ankle-deep seawater and onto the beach. One trips, then quickly retrieves and hurries on. The first bulldozer exits, followed by more infantry. Lug puts his dozer in gear, then pulls forward into the foaming waves, lapping the sand. The dozer's thick treads easily pull it onto the beach. Next, Tex puts his bulldozer in gear, pulls forward, and drives it down the ramp. Soldiers ahead of him move through the water, holding their rifles above their heads, then race up the pale sand to the tree line. The armed sailors hurry past palm trees as the dozer makes it ashore. Now, one of the orange cranes rolls out of the ship. Elsewhere, a truck with its bed full of wooden crates is lowered from the deck into the hold. It lurches forward and drives out of the ship. A smaller tractor pulling a trailer follows the truck out. As it reaches the wet sand, its wheels start to spin. Bridgman spots the tractor getting stuck. He runs over to Tex, who waits at the wheel of his bulldozer.
Barton,
Jackson, go ahead and snap that brake.
Tex starts his bulldozer forward. It accelerates quickly, and the lieutenant ducks its tow bar, then gets out of the way. Bridgman leans on Lug's dozer.
That Joe's going to win the war all by himself.
Tex backs his dozer up to the immobile tractor. He maneuvers until the tow bar attaches, then pulls the tractor and its trailer free. Bridgman hops onto Lug's bulldozer. The convoy of construction vehicles starts off along the sandy beach. The army green bulldozers lead the orange cranes down the beach away from the ship. White smoke puffs out of the tractor's exhaust stacks. Men on foot carry crates along the convoy. A few sailors climb a hill overlooking the beach and spot a small shrine.
This must be it.
One sailor quickly sets up a surveyor's tripod and looks through the attached scope. Elsewhere, another sailor holds a pole for him to focus on.
Okay.
Now, images show the Seabees begin constructing the airfield. Heavy machinery flattens the earth. Men pull planks of wood up to a watchtower. Some hammer as others lift the frame of a wall into place. Tex drives his bulldozer forward. A crane picks up dirt with its jaw-like bucket as Bridgman watches. On the skeletal frame of the curved roof, men build an airplane hangar. Bridgman flips through blueprints on a table. Now, a bulldozer's plow blade pushes fallen trees away. All around the partially cleared field, heavy vehicles level the earth. Elsewhere, Tex rides shotgun as a shirtless Lug pushes mounds of black dirt with his dozer. He pulls down a plastic shade visor from his eyes and turns to Tex.
Eyes wasn't all right?
He shakes three fingers in front of Tex.
How many?
Three.
Fine, the boy can see. Just keep it up. I don't know. I love life. Maybe you don't, but me, I'm crazy about it.
Lug stops the dozer and looks up to men in a watchtower cranking a siren. Lug jumps from his seat and slides between the dozer's treads.
Hit the dirt.
Other Seabees jump from their vehicles. One dives in front of his tractor's plow. The brawny sailor hides under his own bulldozer. Men scatter and several rush into an underground bunker. As a sailor squeezes next to Lug, dirt falls in Lug's face. He shakes it off and waves to Tex. On the bulldozer, Tex aims calmly at an approaching plane. Bombs explode around the construction site. Stragglers duck behind the half-finished hangars as the field erupts with columns of black smoke. The plow blade suddenly drops on the brawny sailor's rig, and he flinches. As a line of Seabees race across the open area, a stream of machine gun fire cuts through them. Two go down. Back at Lug's bulldozer, Tex fires skyward in a cloud of black smoke. He continues firing his rifle at the planes overhead. Elsewhere, sailors race out and carry off one of their fallen comrades. Smoke billows from a destroyed vehicle in the center of the compound. An American flag waves untouched. Lug inches out, his bare torso covered in dirt. As he wipes his face off, the other sailor with him hesitates. The brawny soldier pulls his damaged helmet from under the fallen plow blade. He turns the dented metal in his hand and tosses it away. Back with Lug, the two Seabees finally emerge from under the dozer. Behind them, another vehicle stands in flames. The sailor taps Lug.
Brave or stupid?
Stupid!
Yeah.
Lug climbs back up next to Tex, and the sailor moves off. A jeep speeds across the field and pulls up next to the bulldozer. Bridgman stands to regard Tex.
Why didn't you take cover? We lost three men in that raid. See that it doesn't happen again.
Aye, aye.
The two men stare each other down. Bridgman puts his jeep in reverse and backs away. His wheels kick up dirt as he drives off. Lug turns to the stern-faced young man.
You're getting closer to punching him every day. One of these days I won't be around, and you'll do it, and you'll get what's coming to you.
Nighttime. A sailor strolls past a campfire underneath a thatched tent awning. Now, inside the new barracks, the wavy-haired sailor sprays an aerosol can.
I'm first, Harry.
Take it away, Mike.
Okay, Mike, throw to second base. Hey, I wonder if that's good for dandruff.
Drink it, you'll find out.
He tosses the can back to Mike.
Pass it.
Mike tosses it to Lug, who sprays himself.
Take it away.
Not for me.
Oh, I like to be at that blonde tonight.
Hey, Yoki, don't the bugs ever bother you?
No, they don't bother me none. Down home, they're household pets.
Oh, my.
He lets down a mosquito net. Meanwhile, Lug swats his behind.
Is there nothing sacred to you?
He grabs a cord beside his cot.
Happy dreams.
As he yanks it, the light goes out. He then unfurls a mosquito net.
What do you think of those Jap snipers? Was Bridgman kidding?
Kidding or not, we're going to double up tomorrow.
I'm stuck with Tex again.
Boy, I could sleep for a week.
In his own cot, Tex lies back with his eyes closed, nestling the back of his head into his pillow. Later, sweat glistens on his face as he stirs in his sleep. In a dream, he sees himself riding Bess across the clearing, where she jumps a fallen tree trunk. He bounces happily on the galloping mare. Now, he sees himself dashing through the rain toward the corral.
But they wouldn't let me come, but I'm here now.
Inside the barn.
Bess, you've got to work your butt. Help me, Smitty, help me. We've got to get her out.
You wouldn't be this sick if I could have gotten here sooner.
Bess, you've got to get up. You'll do it for me.
You can't lose her.
Bess, get up.
Because you love her.
Get up, Bess!
As Tex's head tosses on his pillow, dream images repeat of him pulling on the rope, digging Bess's grave, and riding her as she rears back.
Get up!
As Tex sits up in his cot, Lug angrily looks out from under his mosquito net. Mike sits up in his cot as well. Tex breathes heavily as he looks around at his fellow sailors. Lug purses his lips.
Why are you doing this?
I'm sorry. I was dreaming about Bess.
Tex lies back on his pillow.
Shut up! I ain't slept for a week. Why don't we get him out of here? Don't worry. One more crack out of him and he won't last the night through.
Lug throws his mosquito net back down and drops his head on his pillow. Nearby, Tex's chest heaves with heavy breaths as he lies with his eyes closed. His eyes dart open. Tex lifts his head from his pillow and looks around, then slowly sits up on his cot. He pulls his mosquito net open and climbs out of bed. Keeping low, he creeps across the barracks to Lug's cot.
Did you hear that?
Huh? Hear what? I don't hear nothing. If you don't shut up and go to bed, I'm going to have to kill you.
You're sure going to have help, brother.
Tex stands as Lug lies back down.
Now he's hearing things. He's really gone nuts.
Tex climbs back onto his cot and lies on his side. Nearby, the shirtless, brawny sailor shakes his head, then rests it on his arm. Later, a gentle breeze sways Tex's mosquito net as he lies still on his belly. Tex looks up again. Turning his head, he slowly sits up, wide-eyed. Tex's head darts back and forth inquisitively. He swallows. He pulls off his sheets.
Hey, guys! Hear it? You can't hear it, can't you?
Lug sits up.
Okay. You've been asking for it.
He rises and plods groggily over to Tex's cot.
Close your eyes, Skinny, and you won't feel it.
Put him out so we can get some sleep.
Lug pounds Tex on the top of his head, knocking him out.
Now we can get some sleep.
Good night, gentlemen.
Oh, my back is killing me.
Lug sits stiffly on his cot and pulls the mosquito net over his body. Tex sits up weakly on his belly, then buries his face in his pillow. Lifting his head yet again, Tex looks off to the side. His brow furrows.
I don't hear it. I won't go nuts. I won't. I don't hear it. I won't go nuts. I won't go nuts. I don't hear it.
He holds his hands over his ears. Running his hands over his sweaty face, he looks up.
I do hear it.
He sits up.
I do hear it.
He climbs out of bed and sneaks through the open entrance of the barracks tent. Lug sticks his head out from under his cot's mosquito net and watches him. Outside, Tex runs through the dark, misty jungle. Tex stops and looks off in the distance before running ahead. Dressed in a white t-shirt and blue jeans, he pushes his way past the jungle's thin trees and dense foliage. He pokes his head through a patch of giant bushes with leaves as big as elephant ears, then looks around. Tex bounds ahead. He hikes through the mist past more foliage, then stops again, pulls back a vine, and scans the area. As Tex moves ahead, he trips and falls face forward. Tex pulls up some muddy leaves and twigs from the ground and finds a hoof. Stepping back, he discovers a horse lying on its side.
I was right.
He caresses the animal's head.
I did hear your cry.
The horse has a bloody gash.
You're hurt. You're hurt bad.
Yeah. You take it easy. Lie down. Easy, girl. Come on.
Tex pries away the overhanging vines.
I gotta get you out of here.
His dog tags dangle from his neck as he leans over the horse and brushes away the mud. As the horse squirms, Tex holds her down and strokes her cheek. Nearby, his bunkmates trudge through the tropical foliage. One carries a rifle. Seeing them, Tex smiles excitedly and lifts his head from the horses. The others approach him.
So here you are, you silly looking. Hey, that thing's a horse. He really was hearing it, and I thought he was nuts.
He isn't nuts. It's a horse, all right.
Yeah. Help me get her out of here, will you guys?
Gee, I can hardly believe it. You're wonderful.
What's wonderful is you aren't nuts.
As the sailors pull away vines, they freeze. Tex shields the horse's neck.
Here they come again.
As everyone ducks down, the injured horse struggles to lift her head.
Oh, oh girl. Oh. Easy.
The soldiers cautiously lift their heads and get back to their feet.
Hey, fellas, what about that, huh?
Yeah, how come they passed us?
All ready to drop something, then nothing.
That's funny. They'll come back. Come on, guys, we better get to the foxhole.
Yeah, they shot us up plenty this afternoon. Let's get out of here.
Get going.
I gotta sew her up. She's been losing an awful lot of blood.
What's the matter with you? You want to get killed?
Look, fellas, will you bring me some stuff? A needle, a ukulele string, a blow torch, some water? I'll give you a year's pay. Oh, fellas, what do you got to lose?
Only our lives, that's all. Come on.
I'm not going. Let go. You'll come right back, won't you? You gotta bring that stuff.
Oh, sure. Right away, Tex. After the air raid, pick up whatever he has left.
Tex's bunkmates walk off, leaving him kneeling over the injured horse.
You sure you'll be right back?
Yeah, on our vacation.
Tex picks up a large leaf from the ground and wipes some mud off the horse's body. He stops abruptly and gazes skyward.
Hope they made that foxhole.
Tex looks down at the injured horse. Later, a sailor uses a small blowtorch to heat a helmet filled with water, along with a thin string. The string's end is submerged inside the helmet. Tex wets a cotton gauze.
Gee, it was sure swell of you fellas to get back here after all that excitement. I can hardly get over it. Only one tent hit and nobody hurt. Weren't they even scratched up?
Nah, not a scratch.
I see you didn't forget that ukulele string.
But we couldn't find any ukulele strings, Tex.
It's Oki's guitar string.
Yeah, my last E string.
You see, we sort of had to borrow all these things, Tex.
You gotta stop fooling with this horse and get back to camp or the chief will give all of us the break. You ought to have seen his face when I told him we were all out here finding a horse.
What did you tell him for?
Well, I had to tell him how it was that we weren't hurt.
Tex's brow furrows.
Well, you see, Tex, it was our tent that was hit.
Tex glances at the wavy-haired Harry, then down at the horse. Lug squints at them.
Hey, you guys, give me the willies.
Tex strokes the horse's neck.
Okay, fellas. Hang on to her. I'm going to sew her up now.
Come on, grab a hold of her.
Knocking yourselves out for a horse that's going to be exterminated. You ain't practical, you dopes.
Come on, Lug.
Okay, give me a leg.
Lug joins them, grabbing one of the horse's hind legs. A black tail lashes across his face.
You guys gave me the best leg, I noticed.
Harry pours iodine onto the horse's wound. As Tex begins stitching, the horse's legs flail.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Tex grips the horse's mane with one hand and stitches with the other.
Come on, hurry up. Tie a knot in that thing and let's get out of here.
The tail whips him again.
What are you waiting for? The war to be over?
Tex holds on tightly as the horse lifts her head from the ground.
All right, let's go. Oh,
won't be long now.
The horse sets her head back down.
Come on, make it faster, will you?
Her legs thrash.
Whoa! Whoa! Give me some water, will you, Harry?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Tex. Right away.
Tex pets the horse's cheek.
Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. It's all right now.
As he smiles, Harry brings him the helmet.
She's gonna be all right, huh, Tex?
The horse drinks from the helmet.
Yes. I've gotta watch her fever, though. But more than anything else, she needs a good lot of eating. Could you fellas steal me some oatmeal from the galley and bring it back here and still get back in time for chow?
Yeah, what about that?
We have to muster this morning.
Well, you bring the oatmeal out here and I'll have time to feed her while everybody's at chow, and then you still can make muster, huh?
What are you taking chances for? When a sanitation squad is going to exterminate the plug.
Will you stop saying that? You'll bring it, won't you, Harry?
You just leave it to me, Tex, old boy. I'll get it.
You're sure going to be hungry.
Well, he can eat some of the plug's oats.
Tex smiles as his bunkmates walk past, then crouches down to the horse. She lifts her head from the ground.
Smitty was right.
He pets her.
I guess I never did lose, Bess.
Smiling, he nuzzles the horse's ear and pats her cheek. Back at camp, Bridgman drives a jeep past a signpost with various cities listed. The top sign reads, New York, 3,427 miles. The lieutenant jumps out of his vehicle and approaches two lines of standing sailors.
Attention!
At ease. We were lucky last night. Why, I don't know. But don't let it fool you into a false sense of security. They may make a better hit next time. So hit for cover whenever you hear the air raid alert. Remember, during an alert, your job is in the foxhole. I don't want any dead heroes. All right, let's go to work.
Jackson, you take Barton's place.
Bridgman faces the lower-ranking officer.
Where's Barton? All hands were accounted for last night. Where is he?
Well, I've been working on that right along,
Johnson,
sir.
Step forward. Where's Barton?
East of Station 65, sir.
In the jungle?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Chief. Johnson, stand by.
Yes, sir. Let's go, men.
Bridgman steps close to Lug.
What's he doing in the jungle?
Well, you see, sir, last night we all heard a noise. A kind of peculiar kind of a noise, and, he popped out and...
In the jungle, Tex brushes the horse's coat with a handful of leaves.
Barton!
Holding his hand on the horse's nose, Tex looks up, then gets to his feet. He pulls together a mass of dried vines hanging down from the trees and uses them to conceal the horse. Elsewhere, Lieutenant Bridgman makes his way through the jungle. He stops and looks around.
Barton!
The lieutenant pushes on past tall trees draped with moss. He stops again.
Barton!
Bridgman scans the area, squinting. Nearby, Tex stands up and holds the vines together behind his back.
What didn't you answer? Where's the horse?
He approaches Tex.
I don't know, sir.
Bridgman looks behind him and reaches for his holster. As Tex straightens up defiantly, the lieutenant's hands glide past the holster to a blue pack strapped over his shoulder. He holds it out to Tex.
You're the oats you wanted.
Tex glances inside the pack, then gapes at his superior.
Go on, feed her.
Tex's open mouth curls into a smile.
Yes, sir.
He opens the pack. The horse sticks her mouth inside.
Sure makes a swell feedback, sir.
Hey, it's a pretty neat job of stitching you did here.
Oh, thank you, sir.
They look up from the horse.
Well, I didn't know we were cutting up here already, sir.
Well, we have to cut in here for our hard stand anyway. Might as well do it today and make it easier for the horse to get into camp.
You mean I could keep her in camp?
I think she's good for all of us until we get back to what we're all thinking about.
Oh, we'll get back, sir.
You got word on that, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
You mean she's good luck?
Well, last night proved that.
The men seem to think so.
Tex averts his gaze.
Sir, I don't know exactly how to say this, but... Well, it's kind of tough for a guy to say, but... Well, sir, I've been a wrong guy.
What do you mean, Barton?
Tex swallows.
Well, I wanted to knock your block off, sir.
Maybe you had a good reason.
Oh, but I didn't, sir. I was just heel enough to blame you for not getting liberty when my mare was sick, and when she died, I wanted to take it out on you. Well, sir, I just wanted you to know.
That's all right, Barton. I can understand that.
The mustached lieutenant looks down at the horse and shakes his head.
Strange. You lose your mare back home, and you find another one out here.
Tex looks down at the horse and grins.
Well, sir, I don't feel like I ever lost her now.
The two men shake hands. They turn and see a bulldozer heading toward them. It plows down several yards of vegetation, then stops. Five soldiers sit inside.
Everything all right?
Well, I sure hope so. We'll find out.
Why not?
Get up. Come on.
The horse stands.
Girl. Yeah. Everything's all right. From now on.
Now, a sign reads, Best Blood Type Thoroughbred Service Type Horse.
Okay, gang. Really got a show for you now. All right. Come on, Best. Get your head down.
The horse rolls a drum-sized barrel with her nose.
Push her. Atta girl. Come on, straighten her up. Oh, come on. Now, once more. Come on. Give her a push. Push her. Atta girl. Ha ha. All right, come on, once more. No, come on. All right.
Lug watches with the other sailors.
What's so hot about that?
As Tex holds out a stick horizontally, Bess jumps it.
Yep. Come on, Bess, once more. Come on, once more. All right, up.
She does it again.
I can jump higher than that myself.
Yeah, but you don't look so good.
Bess leans forward on her front
knees. Down, girl, down. Get it down. All right, now walk over here. Come on. Over here. All right, now. On your side, Bess. On your side.
Bess sits on her side.
On your side. Down. All right. Over. Atta girl. All right, now. Come on. Let me get your legs here. Grab your legs. Right.
Holding the horse's front legs together, Tex rolls her onto her back.
All right, easy. Hold it.
As he slowly steps away from her, the horse remains upside down.
Atta girl. Hold it. How's that, fellas, huh?
Surrounded by applauding sailors, Lug looks around indifferently. Tex makes a face at him, then smiles. Lug peeks up and grins as Tex takes a bow.
Okay, got something here now I want to show you. Now, watch this.
With Beth's now sitting up, Tex uses her front legs for a seat.
Thank you.
I bet you can't get Tilly to do that.
Lug pushes Harry playfully. On the other side of the fence, Bess walks on her hind legs.
Hold it. Get up there. Stay up. Up. No. Up. No, go back up there. All right. Hold it up there. Hold it. Come on now. Stay up. Hold it up there. Atta girl. Come on. Atta girl. Anybody want to ride, Bess? Any volunteers? Lee? Come on. You used to be a cowboy.
A helmeted sailor mounts the horse.
Give him a ride, Bess.
With the sailor riding bareback, Bess runs through the corral, her hind legs bucking. The sailor falls.
That's stale. I seen that in Boswell.
All right, Lug, you ride her.
Yeah, come on.
Lug ducks through the fence into the corral.
Listen, I've been around horses ever since I was a...
Seeing Bess head toward him, Lug flees. The mare chases him around the corral. Lug finds an unmanned section of the fence and leaps over.
Mommy!
Tex turns to Bridgman, who checks his watch.
Is it time, sir?
I'm afraid so.
Back to the salt mine.
Okay, Shorty. Yes,
sir. Bridgman pulls out a large dog tag.
Here.
Tex takes it from him and reads it.
Oh, gee. Gee, thanks a lot, sir. Seaman second class. She can draw pay now.
It's a tag for Bess. Now, a rototilling tractor with spiked rollers digs lines into the soil. The brawny sailor drives past the lines on another tractor. Bess turns. Two barrels are strapped onto her back.
Shut up, Johnny. You're not the only guy who's driving.
As Bess trots over to the open-shirted Johnny, Lug and Tex watch from another tractor.
You happy now?
Oh, you bet.
Johnny gulps down water from one of Bess's barrels.
Boy, was I dry. You're a lifesaver. And you're a baby doll, aren't you? Hey, I'm going to try something. Hey, Bess, give us a little kiss, will you?
She licks him.
Hey, she kissed me. Boy, she's wonderful. She's smarter than a lot of people I know.
Bess turns and gallops across the dusty soil. Passing several parked vehicles, she reaches two sweaty sailors on a tractor. One pets her neck while the other pours himself some water.
You haven't got a cheese on rye, have you, baby?
Bess looks off to Tex.
That's your boss.
Bess runs off. Tex watches with a smile as she heads toward him. A rope flies out from some nearby trees and lassos her neck.
Hey, what's going on here? What are you doing to that horse?
Tex and Lug chase after her. As they come upon a group of native villagers in the jungle, Tex raises his rifle.
Drop that rope. Stand back from her. I'll shoot.
Take it easy.
A villager steps forward.
This horse belong him.
She's mine.
Shut up. Let him talk. Where did you get the horse?
Long time. Australian man come here. Bring mama horse, papa horse, get baby. By and by she grow. When Japs come, Australian man, papa horse and mama horse get killed. She run jungle. We no find. Now we find, we keep.
I'll fire from your chief.
Chief say money no good here. Now you let go horse, or I take you, chief.
You get out of here.
See that thing? Let me handle this.
Handle nothing. I'm not going to give her up. She's mine.
You think the chief's wife will like this?
He hands a bead necklace to the translator, who shows it to the chief.
Chief say he sell horse. Now we go now, before he change mind.
Hey, wait a minute. I want to buy one of them grass skates. You know, them grass skates.
He does a hula dance.
You know, grass skates.
Got one more?
No.
Goodbye.
The villagers run off. Lug frowns as he turns to Bess and leans his arm on her.
Now how am I going to face Tilly? She gave me that to buy her a grass skirt with.
Go on, Bess. Give him a big hug.
Nah, hug your grandmother.
Bess and Tex dash away, almost toppling Lug over. Back at the camp, a bare-chested sailor cranks an air raid siren, then climbs down from his lookout tower. Bess, Tex, and Lug and several other sailors race past the corral to a wooden bunker. Inside, the sailors file around the chestnut mare. Tex gives her a hug.
Hey, fellas, we own Bess. Lug just bought her from some natives.
You own her. I don't want to have nothing to do with it.
He looks down sadly.
Gosh, and with such good beads, too.
Why, Lug, do you need beads to buy a girl skirt from her?
Not with civilized dames, but out here without those beads, I'm stuck.
The sailors look up nervously at the bunker's wooden roof. A dirty-faced sailor pats Bess.
Well, you did it again, baby. I never knew a plug could drive everybody nuts like this.
No hits. Is that nuts?
Those Japs ain't gonna bother us. They got something better to shoot at up the line. It isn't hard. And I'd like to know who taught her to climb in here anyway.
What do you mean, who?
Looking away from Johnny, Lug furrows his brow, then smiles.
That's right.
He follows Johnny out of the bunker. Above ground, the men shuffle past the corral. Bridgman drives up to them in his jeep and stops. As the men circle around, Harry removes his helmet and runs a hand through his wavy hair.
Well, they missed us again, Lieutenant.
Yeah, we've been lucky.
He pets Bess.
You're a miracle girl.
Yes, you said I was, Lieutenant. Lieutenant, you worry me. When a hep guy like you, my officer, starts believing like these clucks that this here plug is a miracle, there's sure something wrong somewhere.
Johnson, someday you'll be sitting around your own dinner table telling the story about a horse who came out of nowhere and brought us luck. How you'll tell that one. All right, boys, let's go to work. You too, Bess.
As Bridgman drives off, Bess trots after him. Nighttime. The men lounge around a hammock outside a tent as Oki plays his guitar. As Tex passes with Bess, Johnny stands and clinks beer bottles with another sailor.
Gentlemen, hold it, Oki. Gentlemen, this is a momentous occasion.
You can say that again. The first beer we had since we've been out here.
No, 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 Lug. That's not what we mean.
Oh. Lug sits up in the hammock.
Well, what is this? What's going on here?
Lug, it isn't often we have the privilege of knowing a man that would rob his soul for others.
Is that a crack?
No. Lug, this is a solemn tribute. It's my great pleasure to present to you a token of our admiration for valor far beyond the line of duty, this offering.
He hands Lug a grass skirt. Lug stands.
This is a beaut.
You guys didn't make this yourself, did you? We wouldn't kid you, Lug. Look at the way it's tied. It's real native.
I thought you guys were fooling.
He sets the skirt down near Bess.
I'm kind of choked up. You guys are real buddies giving me a grass skirt like that.
Tex sees the horse carry the skirt away in her mouth.
I've been too close to myself to see what a great guy I am.
Why, there's only one Lug around here.
You said it, boy.
Well, let's have a drink on this. Here's to Tilly.
The sailors down their beers.
I'll never forget you, fellas. When I put that skirt on Tilly, I want you to know that every one of your faces will be right before me.
Lug.
Tex hands him the half-eaten skirt.
Bess sort of took a fancy to it.
Let's get out of here, Bess.
Tex rides off on the horse.
I'll kill her!
Lug peers through the missing center of the skirt, then flings it to the ground and swings an arm back at his bunkmates. Later, as Tex rides Bess along the perimeter of the jungle, she rears.
Oh! Oh, Bess! Hey! Hey, what's the matter?
Oh, you never acted like this before.
What's wrong?
Hey!
Oh, he dismounts.
There's something in there. Yeah, oh, stay here, Bess. Stay here, yeah. I'll go take a look. Stay here, girl.
Holding his rifle out in front of him, Tex leaves Bess at the jungle's edge as he creeps into the thick foliage. He stops and takes a quick look around. Bess paces frantically along the jungle's edge. Meanwhile, Tex pushes deeper into a stretch of brown hanging vines. He stops to survey the terrain, illuminated by a bright patch of moonlight. Back at the jungle's edge, Bess runs back and forth, kicking up dirt. She rears up. Tex narrows his eyes and moves forward, brushing away some leafy vines with his rifle. Elsewhere, a Japanese soldier creeps out on his belly from some underbrush. Tex comes around a thick tree trunk. Scanning his surroundings, he finds only trees, vines, and spiky-leafed plants. As he pushes on, the Japanese soldier recedes into the dark shrubs. Back at the jungle's edge. Bess heads into the dense jungle. Elsewhere, Tex moves stealthily past a tree, clutching the top of his rifle. The chestnut mare sniffs the jungle floor as she follows his trail. Meanwhile, Tex reaches a toppled tree trunk and a patch of green shrubs. He cautiously swings his legs over it, then jogs ahead, moving out of sight. Bess rears up on her hind legs, then dashes deeper into the jungle. She navigates her way through the thick vegetation. Her trot quickens to a gallop. Elsewhere, Tex lies on his belly in a muddy bog. Supporting his weight on one arm, he arches his back and digs the butt of his rifle into the mud. Inch by inch, he drags himself toward the shore. Meanwhile, Bess charges through a leafy clearing. She holds her nose up high as she races ahead. In the bog, Tex pulls himself another several inches forward with his rifle, then reaches out and grabs hold of some weeds on the shore. Meanwhile, Bess leaps over the toppled tree trunk and lands in a lagoon. She bobs up and down furiously as she attempts to free herself from the thick, muddy water. In the bog, Tex's legs remain submerged as he slowly pulls his upper torso onto shore. In the lagoon, Bess's flailing body inches toward the algae-covered bank. Her front legs jolt free from the thick mud, and she bounds onto shore. She quickly trots off, following Tex's path around a tree. At the bog, Tex struggles to pull the rest of his body onto shore. He collapses. Nearby, Bess emerges from a wall of plants. She paces around, failing to see Tex's limp, mud-covered body behind a patch of rushes. Tex lifts his head and peers up at the horse.
Bess, I can't move. On your side, Bess. On your side.
Bess crouches down on her front knees and nuzzles him. As he pets her gently, her hindquarters drop to the ground. Holding on to her snout, Tex eases the mare onto her side, then grabs hold of one of her legs and pulls himself forward. Grimacing, he gradually drags himself on top of her, leaving a trail of mud along her chestnut hair. He reaches down and pulls one of his legs up over her back. He now lies straddling her sideways.
All right, Bess.
The mare sits upright, then gets to her feet, carrying Tex's limp body on her back. Bess turns around and retraces her path. She treads lightly across the moonlit jungle floor, careful not to jostle her wounded rider. Later, a soldier carries a first aid case. Behind him, two others carry Tex on a stretcher. Bess walks alongside the injured sailor. Tex reaches out from underneath his blanket and tenderly sweeps his fingers over her cheek. The medical personnel carry him past a blue-shirted soldier into an infirmary. As Bess sticks her nose in after them, the soldier holds her back.
No, Bess, you can't come in.
He heads inside, shutting the door behind him. Bess nuzzles the closed door. She backs up from the building and runs her nose along some crates stacked behind a sick bay sign. Moving back to the door, she sets her front legs on the stoop and waits. Now, planes sit on the newly plowed airfield behind the sick bay as a line of supply trucks and a tractor drive past. On the other side of the building, soldiers pile into two personnel trucks. They drive away, revealing Bess waiting at the building's corner. Nearby, Johnny and his bunkmates stand with some gray uniformed soldiers.
Gee, that's pretty tough on you guys, going to a bear island. Leaving a swell place you've built to us Marines.
Try the plumbing yet?
Oh. Gee, guys, you really got plumbing here?
Wait till you try it. Just a little memento from the sea beast of the Marines. Just a memento.
Johnny walks away.
I don't like the way he said that.
Goodbye, Bess.
Johnny pats the mare, then strolls back.
You know, she's been staying there just like that for 2 weeks, waiting for her boss to get out. What about that, huh?
Johnny walks off. As Bess runs her nose over one of the building's screen windows, the others leave as well. Lug comes out of the sick bay, picks up his rifle and pack, then pets the waiting horse.
Well, I guess I'll have to tie you up now.
Lug takes her reins and walks her past several gawking soldiers to the corral. As he opens the gate and leads her inside, Bess charges forward, yanking on her reins.
Oh, Bess! Hold it. Take it easy. Easy.
She rears up, kicking her front legs in the air.
Oh, Bess. Just take it easy. Take it easy, baby. No use acting up. Tex ain't coming out.
You've been lucky for everyone but him.
He tethers her to a fence post.
Some joke, huh? And you ain't going to see him again. You're staying here and Tex is going home. What a joke.
Looking off in the distance, Lug raises his eyebrows, then glances at Bess. Now, at the beach, a bulldozer drives into the dock transport ship. In an office hut overlooking the beach, Bridgman and another officer pull open the curtains.
Say, isn't that our old ship?
Sure, that's the old 119. Just got back from Tulagi.
I wish I were going with you, but I have to sweat it out here.
Bridgman hands him an envelope.
Joe Barton's papers.
That's the only casualty I'm taking on to the States after I drop off your outfit.
It's getting home the hard way, but brother, oh, we'd all like to see the States.
Lug approaches Bridgman.
Sir, could I ask you something? It's about Barton, sir.
Go ahead.
Could I take him out and let him say goodbye to his mare?
The medical officer said it wouldn't be good for him. He's in bad condition.
He couldn't feel any worse than he does now, sir. He never thought he'd ever be separated from her. Now, not even to see her for the last time.
Lug blinks. The lieutenant nods.
I know. It's rough.
Bridgman glances down, then eyes Lug.
All right, Johnson, you take charge of Barton. On the way to the ship, take him past the corral.
Thank you, sir.
But I don't want any delay.
No, sir. I already carried out your orders about tying her up, sir. She won't get untied.
As Lug leaves, the other officer steps up.
Barton found a mare out here, and she...
Bridgman turns away contemplatively.
She's meant a great deal to all of us.
He looks down to his paperwork and takes a drag on a cigarette. Now, Bess stands tied to the corral fence. She looks to the sick bay where Lug accompanies Tex as he walks toward the corral on crutches. The smiling teen leans on the gate. Lug takes the crutches from him, then helps him inside. Tex limps ahead with one arm around Lug's neck and the other on the fence railing. They approach Bess. Tex wraps his arms around the mare.
She'll hold me now.
He pets her cheek.
Gee, you're sure looking swell. It's been a long time. I've been missing you. I wish you were going to stick close now.
He hugs the horse's neck.
What's she tied for? Would you untie her, please, Lug?
I can't, Tex. It's against orders.
As Tex reaches out for Bess's tether around the fence post, Lug grabs his hand.
Don't fight me, Tex.
He wraps Tex's arm around his neck.
I gotta take you along. We're shoving off.
Take it easy, Lug. I'm not shoving off. I'll be right back, Bess. Cut it out, Lug. I tell you, they're gonna leave me here. Go on, go ask Bridgman if there ain't an order.
There ain't no orders. I asked Bridgman.
You're wrong, Lug. I found her here, didn't I? When I was out in the jungle, she came and found me. You can see there's something that keeps us together that ain't ever gonna stop.
Take it easy, Tex. Don't act that way.
All right, Lug. But you'll see. The order will come. I ain't there.
Tex walks with his crutches to a jeep alongside the corral. Lug tosses his belongings into the back, then helps him into the passenger seat. Tex reaches out and takes Bess's reins.
Don't worry, Bess. I'll be right back. This guy's got his wires crossed.
Lug climbs into the back of the jeep, and a soldier drives them off. Bess pulls against her tether. She bobs up and down desperately. On the beach, dozens of sailors march up the ramp into the dock transport ship. Up above, a helmeted sailor peers down at them from the edge of a gun turret. The captain approaches him.
I'll take her out from here. Bridge. The captain will con from gun 41.
On the beach below, Texas Jeep drives through the lapping tide to the ship's ramp. A line of soldiers watches from shore as they head up the ramp to the massive cargo hold. As they come to a stop, Lug hops out and hands Texas crutches to Mike.
Leave him there, Lug.
I'm going right back.
Do you have to keep on with this?
They're not sending me home, Lug. They're leaving me here with Bess. I know they are.
You and your knowing. If I can only slug you.
Will you guys stop clowning and let me get my rig out of here?
Goodbye, Lug.
Come on.
He picks up the invalid teen.
Hey, come back here. Hey, wait a minute. Don't go. Come back here.
The jeep backs up onto shore.
Ramp all clear.
A sailor hangs up a receiver. Overhead, another's face appears in the window box.
Stand clear. We're shoving off. Stand clear, we're shoving off.
As the ship pulls away from shore, a sailor on board sprays down the ramp with a hose. Tex stands between Lug and Harry, gaping.
I can't be leaving.
We're leaving, kid.
No, Lug, you're wrong. I can't be leaving.
Take it easy, Skinny. We're off.
Johnny helps Lug carry Tex back to a seat along the wall, and Mike sets his crutches beside them. Back at the corral. Bess paces back and forth, pulling on her tether. The taut rope frays above the fence post knot. The rope snaps. Bess runs along the inside of the corral fence, then rears. She dashes to the opposite side of the corral and leaps over the fence. Passing a thatched roof hut, she bounds down a hill toward the ocean. The soldiers on the beach steer clear of her as she gallops through the sand. Bess wades into the ocean toward the departing transport ship. The soldiers stand at the water's edge, watching her as she moves deeper and deeper. Inside the ship's cargo hold, Mike points.
Tex! Tex, there's your hook!
Johnny whacks him in the stomach.
What did you want, Mike?
Nothing, Tex. Nothing.
Mike turns to his bunkmates. Lug shakes his head. Several yards behind the moving ship, Bess's head bobs above water. Inside, a sailor appears in the window box.
Raise the ramp. Raise the ramp.
As Tex sits against the wall, staring ahead forlornly, his bunkmates peer out the back. Behind them, only the top of Bess's head remains visible above the waterline. Chains tilt the grated ramp upward, blocking their view of the water. Bess swims ahead undauntedly, leaving behind a tiny wake. As the rising ramp closes the gap in the ship's hull, its shadow blocks out the daylight on the sailors' faces inside the cargo hold. Frowning, they turn and walk away. Tex watches them pass. Now, several hundred feet from shore, the ship moves out into the ocean. On the gun turret, the captain and his helmeted subordinate watch Bess swim after them. The two men exchange a glance, then look back down at the paddling horse.
I didn't like the way that ramp was raised. I'd like to try it again. Tell the officer of the deck to take the con and bring the ship dead in the water.
Aye, aye, sir.
Bridge.
The ship turns. Now in the cargo hold. Lug looks around, wide-eyed.
Hey, what is this? Did this thing break down already?
Yeah, haven't you heard? You're going to scuttle the scow right now.
Oh, sure. We're going to make the trip on rafts.
She stopped. She stopped. It's your order to put me ashore. Didn't I tell you, Lug? Didn't I tell you guys?
Now hear this. Lower the ramp. Lower the ramp.
The bunkmates watch as the top of the ramp wall lowers out on its chains. Mike and Johnny stand. A shaft of sunlight hits their faces as the ramp opens wider. The ramp lowers toward the water, revealing Bess swimming several feet behind. Tex's face lights up.
Bess! Come on, girl!
Lug and Johnny help him to his feet.
Bess! I know you've come.
Bess swims toward the submerged end of the ramp.
Don't let her go under the ramp, Harry! Bever, Mike! That a girl, pull up!
Mike and Harry head down the ramp to help her.
That a girl, get up there! Get
Harry
up.
Takes the horse's reins and walks her up the ramp.
I know you're thinking. Come here, baby, come here!
He takes a step toward Bess and trips.
Oh, Bess.
She nuzzles him.
Oh, you came up?
Raise the ramp.
I knew nothing could keep you away from me.
He pets the horse's nose.
See, Lug? I told you I knew nothing could keep her from me. You thought I was crazy, didn't you? Well, she's here.
Well, maybe there is something more to this love stuff than just dames.
Now, Pat the dog sleeps on a wood pile.
Tex! Hey, Tex, you ought to read this.
A newspaper.
Because it's got them Japs acting like trained seals. We ain't gonna have no more trouble with them.
Pat looks up and sees Lug approach the fence to Texas Corral. Smitty smiles from his rocking chair.
Hi, young fella.
Hi.
Come on in.
Lug opens the fence and steps through. Dressed in civilian clothes, he carries a suitcase in one hand and holds a jacket over his shoulder with the other. Smitty rises from his chair.
You must be Smitty.
Yeah, you ain't.
Yeah, Lug.
Smitty! Hey, Smitty!
By golly!
In the barn, Tex kneels beside Bess.
Hurry up, Smitty!
Tex looks down at the hay-covered floor.
Oh, ain't he wonderful?
Certainly is.
Lug!
Skinny!
Gee, it's good to see you, Lug.
How do you feel, Tex? Lug, how's your foot?
Oh, fine. I mean, fine. Oh, Lug, this is the greatest day of my life. Look.
In the corner lies a chestnut foal. It peers up at the three men.
A little Bess.
She's a he.
Yeah, but that don't make any difference.
Gee, he sure looks swell, doesn't he, Lug?
The foal gets up.
Our horse ranch is sure growing fast.
The men watch with smiles as the foal plods forward, then turns and approaches Bess. He drinks from his mother's teat.
If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
A mountain peak rises up behind a pine forest. Words appear. The end. Now, words appear over a horse and three foals standing in a field. All scenes involving animals in this picture were made under the supervision and with the cooperation of the American Humane Association.